From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with some incredible stories, followed by conversations with Linda. Looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. Rescue crews, aided by sniffer dogs, digging through crumbled homes in Italy, looking for earthquake survivors as the death toll has reached 250, and officials anguished over how to secure their ancient towns and modern cities from the country's highly seismic terrain. As many as 365 people were injured in the quake that struck at 3:36 a.m. Wednesday their time. At least 470 aftershocks have since rattled the area, triggering more damage to centuries-old buildings in that area. One aftershock had a magnitude of 5.1. The original earthquake was 6.2, so they are getting walloped. Tense times there in the Middle East. The U.S. Navy Coastal Patrol ship fired three warning shots at an Iranian ship that sailed within 200 yards in the northern Persian Gulf after one of four close calls this week involving U.S. and Iranian vessels. My, oh my, what is going on? Jerry Corsi, fresh back from his interview with us on his book, Partners in Crime, about the Clinton Foundation. Jerry, what's Iran up to? Why are they trying to do this, provoke us?
Well, George, I think it's a series of, you know, back-off kind of steps that Iran is taking. They're very aggressive with these patrol boats. They're very small, little, fast-moving attack ships that Iran has in the coastal waters off Iran, and they're getting very close all week to U.S. Navy ships. This incident involved the Cyclone-class patrol ship, the Squall, USS Squall, that fired flares to back off one of these patrol ships, and then fired three warning shots from a 50-caliber. A gun to back off the patrol boat. And you know, these incidents could easily escalate, could easily become a major international incident. We saw earlier this year where patrol boats captured U.S. Navy sailors for some 24 hours. And they're very tense incidents that could easily escalate in the coastal waters off Iran.
Jerry, I'm going to make one of my little psychic predictions here because of things that are happening all around this planet. North Korea doing what it's doing, Russia building up troops along the Ukraine. I think something's going to happen and something significant before the election.
George, I wouldn't rule it out. And I think the international tensions in so many areas, Russia, North Korea, Iran, are escalating, and any incident could easily provoke a shooting incident that is, you know, involves casualties, and that could escalate very quickly. North Korea firing missiles, aiming at Japan. I mean, these are the kinds of incidents that are extremely inflammatory and could easily escalate. And by the way, George, I very much appreciated the interview yesterday on my book, Partners in Crime, and I want to thank you. You did a great job with the interview, and it was really very much appreciated.
Oh, I'm getting lots of emails. I was going to just ask you, too. Are you getting some good response?
Yes, and the book went from, it skyrocketed on Amazon. It went from, you know, something like 15,000 into the low 700s, 800s. It really did extremely
good
well.
Job.
And the reaction I've gotten on the emails has been very positive. I think, George, I want to commend you because it's a sensitive topic on the Clinton Foundation, and I really believe you conducted a fair and really very balanced interview where the focus was not on the election but on the integrity of charitable giving.
All right, Jerry. Keep in touch. Jerry Corsi out there. He writes for WND.com. I have never ziplined. Maybe you have. That's when you kind of like slide down this long rope-type apparatus to get down to the other side. People do it for fun. In Delaware State Police say a woman who died after tumbling from a zipline ride fell from a platform about 35 feet off the ground. The authorities say the 59-year-old woman, Tina Werner, was waiting to descend on the zip line at the Go Ape Tree Top Adventure Attraction at the Lums Pond State Park near Bear, Delaware, when she fell. Park rangers and employees performed first aid on her until the paramedics arrived. She was taken by ambulance to the hospital where she was pronounced dead. Jeez. Viking fans in Minnesota may want to listen up. Hearing experts are asking fans to take precautions to protect their ears when they go to major events at the U.S. Bank Stadium. The huge noise there could be so deafening it could hurt your ears. Now, what else is going on in the skies these days? Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter, what do you have this week?
Things going on, George, and I'm delighted to have yet another opportunity to bring it to the Coast audience. Just to preface, I don't remember an extended period of time when I've received as many very, very interesting reports as I've received over the last several months. It makes me believe. I have no proof. All I have is evidence and instincts, which are pretty flimsy, but I have the instinct that the UFO phenomenon is coming to a head. Some of these reports are very dramatic, and we have no explanation for what people are reporting, but I have just four brief reports this evening. First one comes from North Carolina, from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, in the eastern, very northeasternmost part of the state. On the 13th of August, a gentleman who describes himself as a former senior police officer and a current private investigator was driving north on Interstate 17, I think, or U.S. 17 near Elizabeth City, right where they're building a bunch of wind turbines. As he was driving north, he just casually glanced over to his left, to the west, and he was amazed to see a silver, he describes it as being either silver or chrome, distinctly disc-shaped craft hovering above one of the building sites for these wind turbines. He was so taken by it that he quickly cleared his blind spot. He was going to pull over and use some of his recording equipment to record this object. He pulled over, started to pull into the lane to his right. He glanced back momentarily to see if the object was still there, and it had disappeared just in the few seconds that he had glanced away from it. Very interesting report. I would have thought that would be posted to our website tonight. Apparently, there's been a glitch with our webmaster, and we'll have that posted site tomorrow.
Okay.
3 days after the sighting in Elizabeth City, gentleman, a professional trucker who's probably listening to this broadcast, was driving west on Interstate 70, just a few miles west of Salina, Kansas, near the town of, I think it's Glendale, Kansas. He had to stop to check his load, his trailer, got out, and he was walking around his trailer, and suddenly, at about 11 or 12 o'clock in the middle of the day, no clouds in the sky, the whole area around him just went dark. And he was amazed by it, but he assumed that it was some kind of large aircraft going overhead. He glanced up, expecting to see a blimp or some kind of large aircraft. There was absolutely nothing there. We're awaiting his written report. He promises he'll have it to us in a day or two. Third report comes from Philadelphia just 3 nights ago. Two young women were out having dinner together. They're university students. They were walking back together to their off-campus apartment, and one of them looked up and saw an object come hurling down out of the sky. It was coming so fast and was so engulfed in orange flames that she thought it was a helicopter that was burning and crashing.
Oh, my gosh.
She quickly screamed to her friend to look and pointed at it. The second girl fortunately saw it for several seconds. It just disappeared behind a building. Don't know how that can happen, George. It wasn't a conventional aircraft. They walked over to where they would have thought that this object would have hit, but found absolutely nothing. I can't certify it's UFO-related, but it's a very interesting incident, very close to downtown Philadelphia. One of the great mysteries of ufology is why something like that can happen, and we get only one or two reports. And last report briefly came to us just 2 days ago, gentleman was driving from Kansas City to St. Louis, a businessman, was very close to Columbia, I think on Interstate 70 again, and he saw a very large, dark object pass overhead. A few seconds later, a similar one went overhead. When he and I were talking, I sort of assumed that it might be a B-2 bomber. They're based at Whiteman Air Force Base near Kansas City. And he said, well, maybe he thought they were, but they usually don't fly in formation. They usually fly solo, has been my experience anyway. And if there's anybody out in the Columbia, Missouri area who saw those objects and knows what they were, I would welcome a report. Anyway, have a good trip to North Carolina. And
thanks,
as always, George, thanks very much for the good airtime.
Great. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. He takes some small donations, by the way, information at ufocenter.com, because right now he funds all of this himself. Up next, Dr. PhD Kelly Maroon back on Coast to Coast, praying with the animals, and we talk about the Akashic Records next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. PhD Kelly Maroon with us. Kelly is a doctor of philosophy, has worked for several Fortune 50 companies in academia. She decided to follow her calling that drew her to working with spiritual teachers in the Akashic Records. She reads these records, has written a book called Praying with the Animals, which we'll talk about. And Kelly, it's always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm well, George. How are you? It's great to talk with you again.
I want you to give us a definition as we get into it. I really want to talk about your book, Praying with the Animals, because we all love animals on this program. But give us your definition of the Akashic Records. I've had so many people on that talk about them, but I want to know what you say.
Well, I believe that the Akashic Records are the blueprint of our soul since the beginning of time. So since our origination, because we all didn't start at the same time. So since your soul began from, you know, whatever planet it began upon, you would have Akashic Records from that planet all the way through today. Every single lifetime, no matter where it was, maybe you were an angel, maybe you were an archangel, I mean, any of that, maybe you were an animal. All of those things are documented in a spiritual way that make up the Akashic Records.
As long as I wasn't the devil.
No, you weren't. I know it.
All right, good. These records, are they in like tablet form where when you're on the other side you can readily see them, or is it more spiritual?
Well, you know, that is such a great question. It's kind of both. I believe that probably people experience that differently. I experience it both ways, depending on the person I'm reading. Sometimes I see actual tablets, and sometimes it's just the masters and guides and totem animals coming in and giving me the information. So it really can be either. I think it kind of depends on how your senses are wired.
Now, if you have had a difficult life or a life that wasn't as conducive as it should be, will that go into the records too?
Oh, yes, it surely will. It absolutely will. And one of the things about the records is that there is no judgment. So it is difficult because I know so many people have truly hard lives, but we have to try to really look at that as lesson learning and to get the lesson right so we don't have to do it again in this lifetime or another lifetime. And it sometimes surprises me that I'll say to people, you know, I think this is your last lifetime. You seem to be in a completion mode. And some people will really say, oh, no, I want to come back.
Huh.
And, you know, I personally don't, but I'll be like, okay, well, okay.
I've always felt that when you reincarnate, for the better, not for the worse. And that's just my point of view, but that you keep coming back, getting better and better and better until you don't come back anymore. So I'm guessing that when you die and the spirit form is up there, you look at your Akashic Records from the previous life and you fix things and then you reincarnate. And then on the next life, you look at those records again and they're a little better than the other one. Is that a pretty good guess?
I would say that that's generally true, and we'd hope that that would always be the case, but it's really not always true because it is about learning lessons. And what if, for example, you were someone who was very judgmental and could not understand maybe a certain behavior that people had.
Right.
Then you'd have to maybe come back and exhibit that behavior so that you could understand why people did it. Maybe it would be a behavior that society, you know, saw as very negative.
We're going to take calls with you at the half, Kelly, but I've got to ask you about the book Praying with the Animals. Tell me about that.
Well, I am an animal addict. I absolutely love animals.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I mean, since I was a child. But in December, I started to get these kind of channelings of prayers and, you know, animals coming to me, and they come to me all the time, but to really say, you know, this is important. You need to, like, take this down. You need to record situations that we've presented to you in your life, and you need to share them, and you need to actually include us in the records in a more formal way. And so I said, okay, and I started doing, I did about two of the prayers, and then it was just kind of like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And it just kind of kept tugging at me. It went on, and before you know it, it was just like, you have to do this. You actually have to do this. You have to put these stories out there. You have to put them in prayers. We're going to tell you how to do it. And so basically what it is getting into the Akashic Records. I do give one of the many prayers, the access prayers to the records. And then you look at the various prayers, the 17 prayers to various, you're not praying to the animals, you're praying with the animals. So the animal, whatever particular animal it is, will kind of sit with you during that process. And while you're kind of meditating and just being in your records, you will have insights if you are focused and you are deliberate and you take the time. And you will really learn a lot about yourself. Each person will. And it's kind of unending. You'll just keep learning. And then I give the closing prayer because, of course, you want to close your records as well. But that's kind of the gist of it. They do teach us so much, so much of their behavior. I mean, if an animal appears to you, you know, typically we think about cats and dogs, but think of all the, and they teach us so much, but think of all the other animals that we see on a daily basis that people don't even, you know, consider. Oh, I saw a skunk or a possum, or, you know, look at that particular bird sitting on the freeway, or, you know, look at the groundhog or the raccoon. People don't really think about that because each animal carries a symbolic message, a mystical message, and it could be a very personal message for what you're going through in your life at that time. And even the color of the animal can be significant. Because, for example, the skunk being black and white, or usually being black and white, if somebody sees a skunk, one thing, and there's many things that come up, but one thing might be yin and yang, the male and female energy. Are they balanced? Do they need to think a little bit more about that? Or white representing spirit and black representing emotion. Are they, you know, maybe too much in the physical and in the brain? They maybe need to get more into the spiritual and emotional.
Are animals pure in terms of their Akashic records? Because I'm sure they're in part of them.
They really are. I mean, they are in the sense that they are who they are. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I don't know too many animals that riot. You know,
yes,
things like that. They don't go on shooting sprees. They are, you know, sometimes they kill, but
they kill to eat, right?
Yes, exactly. They kill to eat. So I believe, yes, they are pure. And they don't have ego, which is amazing because, you know, typically if you have a dog, the dog is not going to sit there and ponder and say, well, gee, now when George gets home, you know, I wonder if I should greet him, you know, readily, or is that too, you know, is that too aggressive? Maybe I should be coy. You know, the dog is just going to be who he or she is.
Or I'll snub him because he's not getting me the right food I want.
Exactly, exactly. And won't really care what your reaction is.
Well, interesting take, because animals, when you look at them, when you really get familiar with them, they have souls. I mean, you could tell by looking at their eyes that there's something there.
Oh, there's so much there. They totally have souls. And George, what's so fascinating about animals is that they not only have individual souls, but each species has a collective soul, kind of a collective spirit. So like a cat would have his or her individual soul, and then a cat would have the collective soul of all the cats on the planet. So they're really, you know, they're kind of more simple and pure, but more complex at the same time. And sometimes they will actually allow their bodies to be, I mean, this is in a loving spiritual way, not in a scary dark way, allow their bodies to be taken over maybe by a former pet who's passed on so that that pet can visit their loved one, or they will also encourage those who have crossed over, the people, to come in and visit the living loved one.
Well, they're always there for us. Kelly, stay with us. We're going to come back, talk more about the Akashic Records, and we'll take some phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. In a moment, we're going to go back with Kelly Maroon and take phone calls with her as we talk about praying with animals and the Akashic Records. Maybe you want to ask her about yours. She might know. She just might. Hey, it's my last chance to talk with you about our Asheville, North Carolina event, because I'm heading out there tomorrow, and Tommy tells me he's already there, that the seats are going really fast now. Come on out. I want you to take advantage of it. Come out from any place. They are allowing walk-ins. So that's there for you. There are seats available in the balcony area. All you need to do is go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. You can do that now and click the Asheville, North Carolina event. Takes you into the Diana Wortham Theater. You can click that, and then you go in and look for the event August 27th and pick out your own seats. Now, if you don't have a computer, you can call tomorrow during business hours. That is 828-257-4530. We're going to have a lot of fun there. I'll see you Saturday in Asheville, North Carolina. Okay, welcome back to Coast. We'll get to your calls in just a second with Kelly Maroon. So Kelly, what would some of the reasons that people would like to get Akashic Record readings for their pet?
Well, so many times when a pet crosses over, people really want to know if there was anything that the pet wants to tell them, or maybe they don't understand the exact reason why or the timing. And most often they want to know if the pet's going to come back. They really do want to know that. And that is the usual situation. Sometimes if a pet is exhibiting behavior that is not like them, they will also want to know what that's about. Just get a, you know, another reading other than from the vet or behaviorist. And they'll maybe want to find out if it's okay to get another pet. Will their pet be open to that? Will they accept that?
Some of them get jealous, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do. Very territorial in some cases, yes.
How do you read records?
Well, I say the prayer. And there are many access prayers that one can say. And one is, you know, in my book. I've got one on my Facebook. And you say it three times. You must use your legal name when you say the prayer. And there's a couple places where you need to say that name. It would be the name on your government ID. And then you sit quietly, and I mean, it just, you know, if you've never done it, I guess it would take some time to, you know, kind of get used to it. Some more easy than others, it would come to you more easily. But you will soon, and you've got to trust your gut at this point, you will soon start seeing guides. It could be saints, it could be angels, it could just be spirit guides that have been with you, maybe from the beginning of your soul source, or maybe through this entire lifetime, or maybe some who have crossed over, and they will give you messages, and you can ask them questions, and you will get answers. And that's when you know, I mean, it's really doesn't fall that easily, especially not the first time.
Right.
You've got to kind of work at it.
But you can do this on your own once you're trained to do it.
Yes, yes, you can.
And do these records come to you like in a vision? How do they come to you?
Well, to me, and I think they do come to different people differently, but, you know, as we were talking about, to me, they do come sometimes actually in a document form, but most of the time there are many guides that show up, and they show up at different times. Sometimes while I'm saying the access prayer, because I will say it three times as well, it's kind of a different prayer when you're reading somebody else's records, and the guides will sometimes start flowing in immediately and talking, and they will talk at once. And I'll have to be like, oh, wow, you know, slow down, wait a minute, let me start writing this down, okay, I'll get back to that. And then in the middle of, you know, an important issue, maybe some animal totems will show up or some light beings, masters, you never know who's going to come. And it's certainly not everybody, I wouldn't say that everybody that's with you comes, but there's a, you know, we're so protected, we're so lucky that we have a surrounding of, you know, angels, saints, guides, animal totems. And animal totems are really, really important. Because, in fact, I would suggest everybody to do a meditation to try to find out what their main animal totem is. And they can simply do that by sitting in silence, focusing on their breath and see what animal comes to them north, south, east, west, up, and down. And you'll find, in fact, George, I bet that you have an animal that maybe people send you pictures of. Maybe every year on your birthday, they send you a birthday card, and it just happens to kind of have an animal on it, or you're attracted to a certain animal. And I would guess that most of the time, that is one of your totem animals.
A weasel.
Weasel is a very powerful animal, but I think
you're kidding. I'm kidding. Puppies and things like that. I get a lot of cards with dogs on them.
Well, you know, dogs are known for their loyalty, so that is wonderful, and I think that would really suit you because you are so loyal.
That I am. All right, let's take some calls for you in the time we have left here. Let's pick it up by going to first-time caller Michael in Martinsville, Indiana. Hey, Michael, thanks for calling.
How are you doing? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, thank you on all fronts.
Yeah, what I'm just curious, what I do is I pick up scrap metal and I help out an animal rescue, a ferret rescue here
good
in Morgan County.
Good for you.
And I went to one people's house and I picked up some stuff, and the next door neighbor had a Rottweiler. I guess he was about a year old, about 80, 90 pounds, and this guy trained him to, you know, be protective.
Okay.
He came over to me, he was growling, he's about 10 feet from me, then all of a sudden he just walked over to me, sniffed me, and jumped up on me and started licking me.
He knew you had an animal rescue, Michael. He knew you did. I mean, he was kind of probably reading your records, and he could see that you were safe. That's a great story because they really are intuitive. Of course, sometimes dogs are trained with other behaviors, but how did you feel about that?
I just felt great. I mean, I've had a few ferrets pass away. I got 9 of them myself. But I've had a few of them pass away, and, you know, I see some of them resembling, every once in a while, resembling what the other ones have done.
That's a great story, though. Were you scared at all when the dog came up to you?
Nah. There's only been one dog that really didn't like me. It was a Chihuahua.
They are nippy when they want to be, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hey, great story, Michael. Anything. Thank you.
Thanks for having the
appreciate
rescue.
That. Isn't that so cool? The dog senses things, doesn't it?
Oh, they do, especially dogs. I mean, they really do, and their scent is so amazing, as we know.
How spiritual are cats?
Oh, cats are so spiritual. I mean, I can hardly not even get started on this because I'll go all night. Cats are, they are so intuitive. I think that they are right at the top with a few other animals in terms of their intuitiveness and their spirituality and their connection. They are really old, old souls, all of them.
Justin in St. Louis. Hey, Justin, go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Muggy day in St. Louis today, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, we've had a lot of that.
Too much.
Okay, hopefully you can bear with me for just a moment here. I'm
all
very
right.
curious. I, you know, ever since I was young and, you know, really quick story, there was this little boy who lived down the street from us, and, you know, he would always tell me that I looked poor. And it didn't really have anything to do with the way I dressed or anything like that, because we weren't poor. But it was just something about, he said, the way I looked, you know. And the thing about it was is that as I've grown in my life, I've always felt a sense of just this cloud of sadness and darkness that has followed me around. And I don't get the sense that anything I ever do is actually going to work out, no matter how gifted or talented I am. I've often wondered if I'm living in some kind of atonement period for something I've done in a bad life.
You know, Michael, what you say actually makes perfect sense, because you likely had lives where you were poor, or maybe you took a vow of poverty. Maybe you were a priest or a nun, and probably the person who said that to you, did you say it was a child? Is that what I heard you say?
Well, they both were.
A child. Yeah, he was younger than me. I was a child as well, but he was younger than I was.
Well, he was likely reading your aura, because when we're born, we have those gifts, but socialization kind of takes them away from us. So I'm sure that the child was reading your aura and picked that up. You probably, most of us have had several lives of poverty if we're old souls. And you sound to me like you're very strong, like your soul is very strong. So you might want to think about that. You might want to maybe get into your records and kind of erase those lives, not erase the lives, but erase the lesson and say, you know, I've got it. I've learned that, and I'm off to be prosperous.
And that's what I wanted to ask about. Is there a way to alter things, you know, in the current life that I'm living?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Otherwise, really, the records would just be information. I mean, they're to be used and acted upon. You can simply say some affirmations, do some meditations, and, you know, take a look at the prayer. You can find my prayer on Facebook, and it is in my book. And, you know, get into your records, and you know, things will come to you. And trust your intuition. You seem very intuitive.
You had a little exercise the last time you were on, a real quick thing for people to study and learn. Can you review that again?
Oh, yes. Yeah. In fact, I was curious about what your results were, George. I wanted to ask. Maybe we can do that now.
We'll do that later.
Well, what I was asking people to do is to just very quickly, I mean, don't think about it. Don't use the mind. Just use your instinct. Get out a piece of paper, a pencil. Draw yourself from the shoulders up. And just do it like 1, 2, 3. Should be done by now. I mean, seriously, that fast. And take a look at what you've drawn. You know, did you draw your shoulders? Because shoulders are important. They kind of frame you in terms of, you know, holding yourself up, holding up maybe issues in other people. The neck is flexibility. If you didn't do the neck, maybe you have flexibility issues. The mouth, speaking your truth. The nose, your identity. Your eyes, obviously, you know, can you see? Are you seeing what's in front of you? The ears, very important. Are you a good listener? And the hair, the spirituality is the hair. So all those are so important. And even the eyebrows, because if you didn't draw eyebrows, that means that maybe you don't put things in perspective, because the eyebrows frame our face.
Yeah, they do. They do. And they can get more information on your website.
I'm so sorry?
They can get more info on your website.
Absolutely.
Next up, let's go to Jeff, truck driving probably through California. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. A question for your guest there.
Sure thing.
My wife and I moved into a new house by in the Sierra foothills, and ever since we have been inundated with owls. They've taken up roost in our large oak tree out in the front, and I was listening, and you were saying that owls have, or that animals have certain meanings when they're showing themselves to you. I was wondering what that could possibly mean.
Well, owls are, and I would encourage you also to go up online and look up owls, the symbolism, because there are so many things. The owl is a very complicated animal. First of all, the obvious one is everybody talks about the wise old owl. But there's more to it. The owls are kind of sages when it comes to markers in your life and markers in the lives of those around you. So pay close attention to them, because they can give you a lot of information. They really can. And they can share the wisdom that they have with you, because they really are wise. So ask them for it, and they will give it to you. They'll be happy that you asked.
And they give it to you freely, don't they?
They do. They truly do. You want to thank them, but they will.
How do you know you're not being tricked when you try to get your records by some entity that's just out to do something that's not benevolent?
Well, I think that would be hard to happen unless you were, you know, maybe not sincere and didn't have a lot of protection. I mean, this is not something that should be taken casually or lightly. I mean, you shouldn't do it while the TV's on and you're online. I mean, you've got to be in silence. And I would suggest, I'm glad you brought that up. I would suggest burning some sage, which is, you know, smudging to kind of clear out, you know, some things that shouldn't be there. And whatever your spiritual religious beliefs, maybe you have some symbols or statues or whatever it might be, have those around you and ask your guides in advance for protection. And remember, you get into the records by saying a prayer. You say it 3 times. So that kind of wards it out. Now, I suppose it could happen if you were, you know, maybe playing around with it and had that Ouija board there, but it shouldn't.
Next up, we go to Sarah in Sacramento, California. And the time we have left, we'll grab as many calls as we can. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, I was wondering about trying to get in touch with a pet that has passed on. My cat died very recently, and I was warned by a spirit guide before she died that something was wrong with her. And she has left something that was a significance to us that kind of let me know she's still looking around. That I was just wondering if there's a way I can get in touch with her and if she forgives me for not being able to do more to help her.
Oh, Sarah, first of all, I am so sorry that you lost your cat, but you know what? You only lost your cat physically. You did not lose your cat, because the cats and dogs are pets. They and really are animal companions is what we should call them. They really, they stay with us. They stay with us. And if you sit and just really think, what was your cat's name?
Anya. Anya, because I was confused for Egyptian now, and so I had the Ankh in the center.
Well, you know, your cat, was it a female cat then?
Yes, yes.
But she will come to you, and she will, I mean, and believe yourself, you know, because what people tend to do is think, oh, well, you know, I'm making that up, it's in my head, but it's not. And if you sit quietly, you may even hear her jump on a couch or a bed or wherever she used to sit, and just know that that's her. And the likeliness of her coming back, if you want her to, she will. Ask her to come back and be very careful of noticing the signs, and you'll recognize her. You will recognize her either by looking into her eyes or touching her. I know I had a cat that reincarnated, and at first the cat kept following me around, and I was like, yeah, well, you know, I've already got enough cats, I really can't deal with this. But then the cat jumped in my lap, and not until I put my hand on the cat, it was like a lightning bolt. I was like, oh my goodness, how could I not recognize you? Of course, you now orange, you used to be gray, but just know that.
That was going to be my other question. When I went to adopt this cat, I was looking for a dog, and I just fell in love with this cat. She talked to me. It was hilarious. And so many things she did reminded me of a dog I had years ago that passed. And I always wondered if that was possible, that she came back to me sort of in another
form. Possible. And not only that, Sarah, they can change. I mean, a cat can become a dog. I mean, if you want the cat to be a cat, you can, you know, say, please, you know, be a cat. Now, sometimes they'll change gender, they'll change species, but, you know, if you ask, please, you know, if that's what you want, please come back as a cat, please come back as a female. They have ultimate choice, but, you know, they usually accommodate.
All right, good luck with you there, Sarah, and I've only got about a minute and a half left. Maybe we can get one more call in from Mel in Sarasota Springs, New York. Go ahead, Mel.
Yes, good evening,
hi,
George, and to your guest. It must be a meeting or something, because it seems that whenever your guest is on, I'm always able to get through.
Good.
But as far as, you know, George, you've been involved with horses, I've been involved with horses, and other people that I see, they kind of, and as you mentioned, you look into a horse's face, into a horse's eyes, you'll notice that there's that soul there. And
that's right.
And intelligence. When I see other people, they look at the horse and not the horse's face. I've got a friend of mine, and I'm involved with him over at a harness track there in Saratoga, friends with a two-year-old filly, and she'll test you at any given time when you try and work on her and all that. And if I'm at her, one instance I'm at doing some work on her hind leg or something, and she'll move around or try to give you a little bit of a hard time. I look at her from the side, look her right in the eyeball, and it as like you're looking at a child. You don't have to say anything.
And then she knows.
And they know.
Well, you know, Mel, the horses mirror back to us our own behavior, and that's why they're so helpful, even in dealing with, you know, any human or children who have any kind of issues that need healing. So the horses are magnificent. I thank you for bringing the horses up.
Kelly, I want to thank you for being on the program. Let's keep in touch, okay?
Thank you, George. Have a great rest of the evening.
Kelly Maroon's website, AkashicUniversal.com, is linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. The name of her book is called Praying with the Animals. Up next on Coast to Coast, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe back with us doing some incredible work. We'll have a couple hours of that, plus the final hour will be conversations with Linda. We will take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM, so don't touch your dial. We shall be right back.